We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, continuing on with our spring football podcast series, Tony Castricone along with Rip Roan, the new defensive line coach at the University of Washington. And Rip, is that your official name? Is it Rip? Like, is your birth name on the birth certificate Rip, or what's the deal here?
Nah, man, I'd be lying if I said it was. So my real name, as you can see on my screen, is Elwin. I was named after my grandfather on my dad's side. So his name was Elwin Phillips Rowan, and everybody called him Rip. So when my parents gave me that name, they just called me Rip from birth. So there's no, everybody asked me, like, is there a story behind it or anything like that? No, it was from birth. It was given to me. It's always like going through college and high school, it was like, teacher would call Elwin, and I'd be like, go by Rip. And they'd be like, what's your real name? I was like, I go by Rip, I promise. Like, but yeah, I go by Rip, man. Guys call me Rip, Coach Rip. I don't like Coach Rowan. It's Coach Rip. I've been going by Rip my whole life, so I'm never going to change that. So I like Rip.
I love that. Is there a story on how your grandpa got the nickname Rip?
I don't think so, man. I never got to meet him. He had passed before I was able to, you know, I think he was alive when I was born, but I don't remember meeting him ever. But I don't think there's a story. He played running back at LSU and Army and had something to do with football, but no, I don't know the story. If there was one, I don't know it.
He played at LSU and Army?
Yeah, so this is crazy. Like, back in the day, it was like he started off at LSU, and then he transferred to Army. Because, like, back in the 50s, I guess, you know, Army was the real deal.
Yeah.
Like Doc Richard and all those guys. And he it's crazy how times have changed. He transferred to Army to play better football.
So, and sign up for a commitment on top of that, right?
Yeah, he did. So he was a general in the Army for 20 years, man. He was something else. Like I said, I never got to meet him, but I've heard stories.
Wow, that's fascinating. Okay, so it sounds like you're from a diehard football family. If your grandpa played college football, give me the background. Like, you know, what's your earliest memories with the game?
Yeah, man, earliest memories of the game. So my dad, he played fullback at University of Texas back in the late 60s and 70s, played behind Earl Campbell.
Wow.
I grew up just Texas football. My dad was diehard Texas football, would always tell Earl Campbell stories. You know, so I grew up like fan of Mac Brown, Ricky Williams, that kind of era, Major Applewhite, those days. And so I grew up a big Texas fan, but now, you know, I'm a big Husky fan now. And and my granddad on my mom's side he's in the Tennessee Hall of Fame, he coached at Vanderbilt, Texas Tech, had been all over the map, was the AD at Memphis for a while, coached the Memphis Showboats. I think it was back in like the I don't even know what it was, the XFL maybe. I don't even know what it was back in the day. They had that other league back in the day, maybe the AFL.
Yeah,
the World Football League. He coached for a while too. Yeah. So all my siblings played sports, so it was a sports family for sure. And I was the baby, so I was being drugged to everything. So when it's finally my time to play, it was football, man. I love football.
So did your dad play for Coach Royal?
He played for Coach Royal. Yeah, Coach Royal and Mike Campbell, who was actually at Washington, was for a little bit, I think for 1 year, is my great uncle. So that was kind of the Texas connection. When he went to Texas, he recruited my dad, which was his nephew. So And my dad played there. My cousin was on the, my uncle was on the 69 national championship team, and same with my dad's cousin. So it was like kind of a whole family affair there.
That's cool. So that's your UW connection right there. Coach Royal went to Texas from Washington. So there's
yeah,
your UW connection.
Okay. I thought of that. I didn't want to say it. I wasn't 100% sure, but I now that makes sense.
Okay. So tell me the story about how you end up in this position. I mean, I've read your bio a little bit. You know, you're bouncing around with some grad assistant gigs, FAU. You were there with Lane Kiffin, and you were at Southern Miss before that. This defensive analyst job opens up at Washington. How did you end up out here and then in position to get this promotion to work with the defensive line?
So I basically had heard about the opening through a friend and was eager to kind of try to move up and get to a program. I would always watch Washington play great defense and heard great things about Coach Peterson and Coach Lake and Coach K. And I heard about the job opening up, and I knew Lane always used to talk about Lane and Chris, and Monty always used to talk about Jimmy because they worked together in Tampa Bay. And so I was like, all right, like I got to shoot my shot. And I asked Monty, who, you know, if anybody knows him, that's not easy conversation. I was like, hey, Monty, like he doesn't even know what QCs and GAs are. Like, he's just like, I'm like, they got this QC position. Like, will you please call Coach Lake and like, see if you can give me an interview. And after explaining it to him, he finally reached out to Jimmy. And next thing I know, that night, like it was one of those deals where you do this a lot in GA roles, and you know you ask people to do stuff like that, and you never hear back. And it's kind of one of those things. It's like, yeah, all right, whatever. But then I saw him call my phone, and I was like, holy cow! Talked to him for a little bit. Came up here for an interview. It was like a beautiful March day, and I was like in shock. I was like, man, this place is. It looked a lot like today, just not a cloud in sight. You can see every mountain. I fell in love, man. And I came out here for my interview. I mean, I was, man, nervous as could be. But when you get around these guys and you know, you see how good of dudes they are, it was like, and it's honestly being around them, it was like I knew them my whole life, you know. So I feel like I did pretty good in the interview and got the QC role here. So I've been the QC since 2019 and I'm working in the weeds and doing a lot of the opponent scouting and working with Coach Malloy and Coach K. We're two great guys, man, in this profession, and just working hand in hand with them and trying to help with coaching the players. Did a lot of pass rush stuff with the guys. You know, Coach Malloy, so thankful for that guy, man, and my development as a coach, just molding me as a coach, not just the players in his room, but molding me because I was in his room. So that just shows you how, you know, in some of these roles, like you can get kind of thrown to the side, but not with Coach Malloy and these guys. It was like, hey, man, you got the meeting on Saturday. Like, have your best stuff ready to go. And, you know, he'd give me feedback, and I just got really comfortable, you know, meeting with the guys and gained some confidence in the classroom. And next thing I know, when the job came open, man, Coach Lake, you know, didn't hesitate and gave me the job, man. I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Opportunity.
Congrats, man. That's so cool, and really happy for you and happy to have you in this position. And it's cool also, you know, I'm talking to you on Zoom and I'm looking behind you, there's that unbelievable view. You assistant coaches, you got the best view in America,
man.
You're in the closed end zone of Husky Stadium, you're looking out over the water. I mean, it's truly the greatest setting in college football.
Yeah, no, it really is, man. I got to pinch myself, and it doesn't get old either. It's like every morning, like you walk in, like especially this time of year, like the sun's starting to rise, like right over the Cascade Mountains. And it's just like every morning I just kind of stop. Sometimes I take a picture and I'm just like, man, just grateful, man. You can't find a more beautiful place in the country.
That's awesome. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, you played defensive line at Austin Peay and maybe a little linebacker as well.
Yeah.
But so tell me about our position room and this group and how it fits into this defense, which has such a great track record of being one of the best defenses in the country, let alone the Pac-12 year after year. And obviously is going to be a vital piece of what we do trying to come together and make a run in 2021.
Yeah, man. I'm like I said, so I've been with the group since 2019. So it's kind of been an easy transition for me and the guys, really, which is so great. Like I've been around Taki and Thule and Draco and all those guys for 2 years now. So it was really a smooth transition, and we got a good group, man. And it starts with Taki and Thule, and they know that. And the good thing about it is we got a great relationship, because I remember their redshirt freshman year, my first year, when the older guys would be in Coach Malloy's office, those two guys would be in my office. So, you know, they've been hearing me talk for 3 years, so they kind of know what I'm about and my expectations. And those guys are working their tail off, man, and they're doing a really good job. And then the younger guys, you know, I guess not younger anymore. They've been here for 3 years, but it's crazy because you look at Tui and Bandez and Noah and those guys, like they've never had a spring football. Yeah. They've never had an off season. So it's like, this is new to them. People are like, oh, they've been here, but they've never had a spring football. So like you talk about your most important year in college, your freshman, your sophomore year, they didn't really have it. You talk about the weight room and spring practice and kind of fine tuning their details and techniques. So this spring's been great. You know, it's been awesome for them, not just in the weight room, but out here on the field, kind of mastering the defense and their techniques. So it's been awesome, man. And then we got Kowal and Boy here that kind of been thrown into the fire right away, and they're freaking rolling, man. They're two great kids, good football players, just eager to get better and push those guys, man. So it's a great group, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, death row defense, it starts up front, man. I call them the junkyard dogs, man. We're the first line of defense. We gotta roll, man. It starts with us.
It sure does. And, you know, there's a great reputation up front. You got a guy like, you know, Vita Vea, who was the conference player of the year on the defensive side of the ball, and then it got into Greg Gaines, and now Levi Onsarike is going to be the next NFL draft pick at that position. So, like, tell me a little bit about, you know, just the legacy that you see. And let's start with the veterans, Thule and Taki. Like, what do they need to do in order to be the next guys in that lineage, you know, in order to really kind of live up to that that pedigree?
Yeah, it just starts with taking on that leadership role. And to me, it's like, all right, it's not just being a vocal leader. It's just doing it day in and day out, being consistent, showing up every day in practice, making plays, doing the right technique, being in the right fit. And we talk about, you know, and it makes it easy. You see all these guys up on the wall, the Vitas and the Gregs, and talk about carrying the flag of what this room has done the past 5 years. And, you know, when you point out those guys, that kind of makes it easy, but I never want them to compare themselves to those guys. Like, I think comparisons are death. Like,
yeah.
Taki and Thule need to be the best Taki and Thule that they can be. And then they'll get themselves on that wall. Like, don't compare yourself to Vita, because you're not Vita, you're Taki.
Right.
You know, just being the best version of Taki and Thule will get them there, because they have everything that those guys before them did, and they can be those players, but they got to be the best versions of themselves and not try to be somebody else. Like, just be the best version of them. And if they keep showing up and working like they have been working, I think they can get there. I really do. I have a lot of confidence in those two guys.
Yeah, I think one of them's maybe a little more of a bull rusher, one of them a little more fleet of foot. Is that fair to say, or do you see these guys both becoming more versatile?
Yeah, they're both powerful guys, and I joke with Taki all the time. Like, he's a big, strong guy, and same with Thule. Like, they, you know, they think that, yeah, they are bull rushers, but they have a lot more to them, and it's just getting them to believe, like, hey, you know, you could be a good pass rusher. You don't have to just be a first and second down guy. And they both got those tools in the tool belt to do it. But it's just kind of a first, like, starts with me and teaching them how to do it. And then second, they got to believe that they can do it. Like, now bull rush, you know, it's always going to be probably their fastball, but they got a lot more in the tank when it comes to pass rush. I believe that. Really, we got a lot of great pass rushers in the outside backer room, but I think we can bring some noise up the middle this year in the pass rush game. I really do.
I've noticed through camp that we're doing a few things just a little bit different, not on every down, but sometimes going with three defensive linemen out there, which is that's different than what I've seen in my time on Montlake, where it's very consistently a nickel defense. And so, you know, you throw Thule and Taki with Fa'atu'i Tuitele next to them. What does that do from their vantage point to have three kind of lined up down there?
Well, like I said, well, I think Coach Lake has mentioned this to you guys, but it's like the game's always changing, man. It's like it recycles, you know, so teams are going back to more pro style. They're putting bigger tight ends out on the field, fullbacks. So, you know, we got to match personnels, And like I said, I think it gives them confidence. It puts more on us. There's no sugarcoating anything in our room. It's like, hey, we want to be better in the run, which we haven't been in the past 2 years. They know that we have to play better. It's like, hey, we're putting three of you guys out here for a reason to stop. So we got to do it. And it starts with us. And that's setting the line of scrimmage and getting off blocks and making plays. So I think having three of those guys out there is definitely going to help. And it also, but we got to make it work too. We can't just have three guys out there just to have three guys out there. We got to be taking off, eating blocks for those guys in the second level and also getting off blocks when it's the right time to go make our plays. But no, I think it fires them up, man. Doing a lot of base and it's good stuff.
It's been interesting to me to see how like this Pac-12 North, obviously Washington State loves to spread it out and sling it all over the yard. But outside of them, I mean, it seems like every program wants to run the ball. Like Oregon's going to pistol and come downhill at you. Oregon State's got these huge backs. And it wasn't just Jefferson. I mean, they've had a bevy of guys over the years. And, you know, we know what Stanford does, right? I mean, and so even Cal, thinking back to 2 years ago in that crazy Lightning game, Cal had the ability to run the football with Christopher Brown and some of those guys. So do you see your room as kind of being the first line of defense in trying to stop this run-heavy Pac-12 North?
Yeah, I think so, man. And like I said, there's no sugarcoating anything, man. And we're, like I said, Junkyard Dogs, we're the first line of defense, man. So it's on us first. If we don't play our blocks right and we don't get off blocks, then it's going to be harder for Eddie and those guys to be making plays in the back end. So our guys know what we got to do, and we got to go out and put it on tape. Like, we can't just talk about it. Like, we got to go put it on tape, you know, when September 4th or whenever the first game is, and we got to do it week in and week out. We can't have games where we're holding teams to under 100 and then have the 200-yard games. We got to be consistent. That starts right now, really. It's just showing up every day. In my opinion, too, we get to play against the best offensive line in the conference every day in practice. So it's like, hey, we can stop these guys. We'll have a shot. But like I said, we got to put it on tape, man. We can't talk about it, you know, putting 3D linemen on the field. We got to go out and do it. So,
yeah, makes sense.
I do think our guys understand, like, it's not been up to our standard when it comes to run defense. So it's got to get better.
I've seen great energy in these first few practices. What's been your observation from that standpoint? Great enthusiasm.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, you know, in some sense of the world, like the COVID year kind of helped. It's like, hey guys, this could be taken away from you at any minute.
True.
Like, and we found that out the last year, you know, football can be taken away from you at any minute. And we got to take advantage of every opportunity. We get to put the helmet on and put that W on and go out there and play, man. And every practice is filmed. So like I said, we got to go out there and put it on tape, man. The tape is your resume. So I definitely think that's helped. And like we talk about in our room with big guys too, it's like, Tony, I talk about energy, effort, and passion, man. Mm. That's it. Big guys bring it, like everybody else will bring it. So I think at least for my room and from other rooms, like I've seen it out there. Guys are flying around, having fun. But you got to bring energy, effort, and passion to this game. Like I tell the guys all the time, like, you play the game with energy, effort, and passion. You play the game the right way, the football gods will reward you. You got to play in the right way. So it's big. We've been talking about it, and we can feel it. We got to do it every day. So we've got five practices underneath us. We got 10 more. We got to bring it. Can't have any bad days. No bad days.
I love it. That's a lot of what we heard when you were mic'd up. Hey, tell me, what was that like wearing a lav mic around your neck while you're out there trying to coach?
Oh man, it was, I tried not to think about it, you know, like there's a few choice words you try not to use, but, no, man, it was a lot of fun. C. Mitch is a stud. He does a great job with all that. And, it was like, it wasn't even on me, man. I forgot about it about a couple periods in, but no, it was a lot of fun. Guys were giving me a hard time and told them, you know, try not to get me hot because I'm mic'd up. Let's have a good, but no, it was good, man. It was a lot of fun.
Well, Rip, it's been great having this first conversation with you on the record. Look forward to many more, and thank you very much for the time. Congrats again on the position, and have a great rest of the spring. The weather's been great. The enthusiasm's been great. Yeah. We can't wait to get this thing kicked off.
Appreciate it, Tony. Go Dawgs, man.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.